And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords. And Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Hello, good morning, Lena. It is the day after the election.
Happy post-election day.
Happy post-election day. It's been a gruesome one.
It's been a busy 24 hours, I must say. But just looking at the voter turnout, one thing can be said about voter sentiment. A lot more people are invested in this general election, right?
That is one takeaway from it, yes. It's ironic because I was telling people yesterday, don't stay up too late to get the results of the elections, but I ended up doing that myself. So,
I woke up every hour.
Practice what you preach, I guess.
Yes, yes. I thought, okay, what is the point of waking up every hour? I should have just stayed up. But anyway, there's a reason why. High stakes, and it seems to be a landslide victory for the main opposition. Let's begin to cover the 22nd National Assembly General Election, our first keyword of the day.
DP victory.
So with almost all of the votes counted now, the Democratic Party has won another landslide victory in the general elections, dealing a heavy blow to the People Power Party and President Yoon. It will be an uphill battle from this point on, more so than before that is. Can you run us through the results first?
Yeah, so it seems like the opposition is actually doing better than it did last time. I mean, they're another landslide victory for the opposition again. And now, as the count reached 99%, the DP is leading in 161 out of 254 districts. The PPP only has 90. Including proportional seats, the DP and its satellite party are expected to win 176 seats. The PPP and its satellite party, 109. Now, the election was, of course, a litmus test of Yoon's popularity as he reached the midpoint of his term. Back in 2020, the DP and its satellite party won 180 seats, which was the biggest majority in the National Assembly by any party since Korea's transition to democracy. This time, the Liberal parties could further expand their majority, so making it even tougher for the Yoon administration and the ruling party. And therefore, the PPP interim chief, Han Dong-un, expressed disappointment, of course, as you'd expect from the results. The DP chairman, Lee Jae-myung, emphasized that he'll stop the regression of the country's state affairs and make it move forward in the future once again. Now, he managed to get victory in Incheon's Gyeongbi district. His constituency observers have stressed the significance of the wider Seoul area, considering it the primary battleground that will ultimately shape the election outcome. And most constituencies in the region, including 46 in Seoul, are expected to be won by DP candidates. In contrast, the PPP candidates emerged victorious in some districts that were actually closely contested races and were projected actually to be victorious by DP candidates. So there were some upsets, although it wasn't enough to shake things up in the whole grand scheme of things. In Seoul's Dongjak-bi district, Nak Young-won of the PPP has secured victory against DP candidate Yoo Sam-young, making her a five-term lawmaker. And a surprise outcome, Lee Jun-suk, whose a lot of eyes were on, the former leader of the PPP, also secured his first ever parliamentary seat in the Hwasang-bi district in Gyeonggi province. And voter turnout, meanwhile, recorded the highest in 32 years. So, yes, as you said, a lot more people are invested in politics, which is a bit ironic in itself as well, because there's been a lot of complaints about Korean politics, but then more people are voting. So maybe they're expressing their opinions about domestic politics through their ballots.
Isn't that the most democratic process, though? I mean, we're talking about a voter turnout of national average of 67%. That's unheard of for a national election. Mm. It's not a presidential election after all, but you're right. Discontent shown at the polls. Maybe a democratic process.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a look at what this might mean for the decisions that Parliament has to reach and the uphill battle for the PPP, our second keyword of the day.
Similar Parliament.
So with the DP securing a majority once more, watchers believe not much will change in Parliament. The tug of war will be more intense with more hurdles ahead for the ruling party and President Yoon. What can we expect?
Yeah, so pretty much the same story for another 4 years, but this time it could be even more tense because the VP and the opposition part, the opposition bloc itself, has become even greater. So it'll be even tougher. So not much change, but a tougher road ahead for the ruling party, definitely. Now, despite the People Power Party winning big in the local elections 2 years ago, this general election has brought kind of a different result. Of course, this is the third straight general election loss for the People Power Party, so they're not doing quite well. The DP have controlled parliament for 12 years by the end of this term. This is actually the first time a party from the presidency remains a minority during its term. Usually there are changes in between, but consistently being a minority is it's a first. Now, with the DP controlling parliament, it's been tough to pass major policies, and this might, of course, continue for the next 3 years remaining in the UN administration. This could lead to more political conflicts where neither side wants to give in, more of the same that we've been seeing. The election outcome necessitates a major shift in the government's approach as well, likely forcing President Yoon to engage directly with the opposition and increased communication with the public to navigate the remaining 3 years of his term. He's been doing that to some degree, but we might see a more frequency of such public communications and also possible meetings with the opposition as well to try and get his agendas through. Now, even though the parliamentary landscape hasn't changed much, Yoon might stick to his principles as well. He might still try to push through his initiatives. Legal issues, though, with opposition leaders like Lee Jae-myung, who's still on trial, are still uncertain as well, whether that will have any shakeup in how the opposition manages parliament remains to be seen. For the opposition, the victory secures a favorable legislative landscape ahead of the local elections in 2 years. There is a local election in 2 years, mind. So it's not completely over for the PPP, but although it doesn't have that much of a political weight to it as the general election, and there's also the presidential election in 3 years as well. Now, the DP will control key positions such as the assembly speaker, major committee chairmanships, allowing it to lead in legislating and budgeting, so it'll have definitely a much more say when it comes to parliamentary affairs. The appointment of key government positions will also be influenced by the DP, because there are some personnel appointments that
We're having some technical difficulties. Let's see if we can reconnect with Adam in just a moment. Morning, Adam.
Hello, Leah. Again.
I sounded like a broken record, so thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here. I don't know what happened. I was talking and then I couldn't hear you, and you know, technology, I guess.
All right. So I think where we got caught off is around the point where you tried to explain which key positions a DP will control at the National Assembly and what lies ahead for the ruling People Power Party.
Right. So I'll jump back onto that. Yeah. So the DP will control key positions such as the Assembly Speaker, major committee chairmanships as well. That will allow it to lead in legislating and budgeting, as I mentioned. Also, key government positions as well could also be influenced by the DP and the opposition bloc if the president wants to appoint some government officials. And of course, they'll have to go through parliamentary hearings. And of course, the opposition bloc won't be willing to paint them a very bright picture. Now, it can even initiate impeachment proceedings against government officials as well. And there might be some in the works as well when the assembly opens. Now, the opposition can push also for fast-track designation and end filibusters, enabling a rapid legislative push. The party may also revisit bills that were previously vetoed by President Yoon, such as the dual special prosecutor law, the Itaewon Special Act, and others, bypassing the ruling party. The opposition is also expected to push for various special prosecutor laws and national investigations, increasing pressure on the government and the ruling party. However, without securing 200 seats, the cycle of presidential vetoes and failed legislative reapprovals seen in the 21st National Assembly may repeat. The outcome of this election sets the stage for huge internal power struggles as well within both the ruling and opposition parties, with significant implications for future leadership dynamics and policy directions in Korea.
All right, so stay tuned. With that, we move on to our third keyword of the day.
minor parties.
So the new Rebuilding Korea Party, led by former Justice Minister Cho Kuk, is on track to win more than 10 proportional seats. This would elevate them to the position of the third largest party within the 22nd National Assembly. What's the latest, Adam?
Right, so the party was anticipated to gain at least 11 to 12 proportional seats. It could get more. Now, the announcement of the exit poll results was met with cheers and applause at the Rebuilding Korea Party's Situation Room, as the projected number of seats far exceeded their target. Cho hailed the exit poll results as a victory for the people. He said the results show that the people can no longer put up with the regression of the government, urging Yoon to humbly accept the election outcome, and even called on him to make a public apology as well. Now, the Rebuilding Korea Party, composed mostly of figures once affiliated with the DP, has campaigned on carrying out reform initiatives to punish the Yoon administration. And he also, interestingly, has a personal vendetta against the ruling party and President Yoon as well. If we remember, President Yoon and Han Dong-hoon, the interim chief of the PPP, were prosecutors who led the criminal investigations into the former justice minister and his family. He still faces legal risks if the Supreme Court confirms the prison sentence he received in the lower courts for the charges related to his children's university admissions. He would immediately lose his seat in the National Assembly. So it remains to be seen what his fate is in the political spectrum. We'll have to see what illegal implications and how the court will find him, whether he will be found guilty or not, or whether there will be any accusations of nepotism that was...
We'll have to wait and see for the court's results.
Yeah, okay. Arise during the previous administration. Yeah.
All right. Let's also get a closer look at other minor parties and how they did. Some political heavyweights have left their former parties. You alluded to the fact that Lee Jun-suk may have won a single horse race, but what about his party, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the New Reform Party, led by the former Prime Minister Lee Nak-yeon, and the New Future Party, right, by Lee Nak-yeon, and the New Reform Party led by Lee Jun-suk, they're expected to secure 1 and 3 seats respectively. Lee Jun-suk has made it, though, to the National Assembly on his fourth try. He was behind his DP rival Kong Yong-woon at the start, but outstripped him as the ballots were counted. And he also vowed to turn his constituency into a more developed city, and he plans to reorganize the party to find ways to reform local politics, in his words. Meanwhile, the former Prime Minister Lee Nak-yeon and his party suffered a crushing defeat against his DP rival Min Young-bae in the Gwangsan B district in Gwangju. He left the DP in January, of course, in protest of the way that Lee Jae-myung was running the main opposition. But interestingly, and probably a very risky move, he ran in a different electoral district in Gwangju, a traditional liberal stronghold, but instead of his hometown in the city's Yeongwan County, where he was actually elected 4 times. So he was taking a bit of a risk there. Now, of course, that means the fate of his new party is a bit uncertain. What's worse news for minor parties, though, excuse me, is for the Green Justice Party. They haven't won any seats in individual districts and through proportional representation. And of course, there's been a lot of reasons being attributed, such as its unification with the Green Party being met by a lot of dissenting members when that happened as well. So a lot of defectors of the party happened. Shim Sang-jun, of course, missing out on her 5th attempt to get elected.
All right, Adam, slow down. We're going to skip the song, yeah, so we can manage to buy you a few more minutes on lost time.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot to go through post-election day, isn't it?
Absolutely, a lot of grounds to cover. So crushing defeat for the Green Justice Party, and not to mention for Lee Nak-yeon's party, the future remains uncertain. Our last key word, what does this mean for President Yoon? A loss this dramatic poses probably a rough 3 years ahead. Our final keyword of the day.
Hurdles for Yoon.
So the election is a huge blow to President Yoon, who is facing the threat of being a lame duck for the remainder of his term. What's expected, Adam?
Yeah, so pretty much expected, and pretty much I think most people know what he'll be going through, because we've seen a lot of it during the past previous National Assembly, and he is facing tough times ahead in managing state affairs. Now, if the opposition bloc does manage to secure more than 200 seats in the 300-seat Assembly, the opposition would have the ability to basically unilaterally enact contentious bills, effectively neutralising Yoon's presidential veto power. Furthermore, it could even pass a bill on impeaching the president himself as well, though that takes a much more complicated legal process, with the Constitutional Court also getting involved as well. Now, Yoon already has been facing stumbling blocks in exercising his power for the past 2 years because of the DP's majority. Additionally, he has been vetoing contentious bills passed by the DP. However, several of Yoon's major initiatives, including the abolition of investment, income tax, and the relaxation of inheritance tax, have remained pending due to the necessity of law revisions. With the opposition regaining the majority again, the policy gridlock is expected to persist until Yoon leaves office. He also faces hurdles in pushing through with policies related to schools, retirement funds, work conditions, healthcare, taxes, and especially low birth rates as well, and more recently, of late, medical reform as well, which has been a very controversial issue. Now, the election results are also seen as a manifestation of public distrust toward his administration as well, with Yoon's approval ratings largely remaining below 50% over the past 2 years. The prospects for him to reverse his declining influence on state affairs midway through his five-year term appear quite slim, according to a lot of pundits and watchers. Now, with the opposition holding more power, they also might push for their own laws, including ones that could cause trouble for the government. Now, even though the worst possible outcomes like impeachment or changing the constitution didn't happen, you might have to think about new ways to run the government as well. This could mean trying to work more with the opposition. We could have more sit-downs between them. But of course, we'll have to see if the opposition is willing to do so. And of course, maybe changing some of the people in his team and some governmental reshuffling could be expected as well. And also the ruling party might do some reshuffling of their own. They will also have to get to the drawing board and see what they can do to overcome the defeat that they suffered during this general election.
Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. We really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. I'll see you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.